cards for those of you here in the building that are available to you to record your attendance and also to send encouragement or prayer requests to the front office. And you'll have an opportunity to put those in the offering plate later in our service. We're going to begin today, as we always do, by reminding ourselves of Christ's presence here among us. And we will light the candle on the table here in front to remind us of that. Would you stand with me as we listen to Psalm 121 and remain standing for the song that follows? Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you'd reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Please be seated. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. At this time, we're going to hear and say together, as we always do, the pronouncement of Jesus from Luke 4. I'd like to ask you to stand for the pronouncement, and I'd like to ask a volunteer from the audience to come forward and lead us this morning in the reading of from Luke 4.
I want to lead us in this. I think that it was an inspired decision by Steve to make this a weekly part of our service. As we say this, I hope that we all are realizing that as Jesus said this, we are saying this. In other words, this was Christ's mission to the earth, and as his disciples, we are expressing our own mission. So reflect on this and how you can and are doing these things to continue Jesus' mission on earth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You may be seated.
Good morning. Will you join me in prayer, please? Our Father in heaven, I give thanksgiving to you and praise you because you are holy. You are steadfast in your love, and your faithfulness continues for all generations. You are our Creator, Father. You created the heavens and the earth. You painted the sky with stars and constellations, and they all have purpose. And you created us in your image, and we have purpose. Father, thank you for loving us so greatly that in our sinfulness you sent Jesus into this world, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And you help us understand, Father, our sinfulness, our inclination to sin. And because of that, we repent. And with repentance, Father, we receive forgiveness. And for that, we give thanks to you also. Father, often I grow discouraged by the wickedness that surrounds us. But recognizing this wickedness and recognizing the command to love our neighbors as ourselves, I strive to do so. And hopefully, Father, in doing so, the hearts of the wicked will turn to you, growing in faithfulness and in hope. Father, help more and more of the world love you with all its mind, soul, and strength. And in doing so, Father, I pray that peace will settle upon us. It is in your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along the way. Be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, failure, danger, Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
The reading today is Luke 18, 1 through 8. It's the parable of the persistent widow. Perhaps our speaker is going to speak more to this point. And perhaps those of us listening might identify with some of this. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, He will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith, or will he find faith on earth? Question.
It's time for our Roots kids to have their time around the Roots table. So if you are a school age kid, you can head on back to the back. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. I know that Jesus is well and alive. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are
promise me that we never would part. Good morning. It's nice to be with you. I have bad news. It's that you're stuck with me as your preacher today. I have good news. Next week, Steve will be back. So there you go. So that should keep hope alive for you. So I again commend you for allowing he and Chelsea to have this time to refresh. They are very diligent workers, very invested in all that goes on in this congregation. And it's so good when the congregation recognizes the hard work and the gifts that they bring and gives them time to catch their breath a little bit. This is October 23rd, and this would be my wife Carol's 70th birthday, were she still here. And that's rather poignant for me. I never forget it. The other day when I spoke here was September 25th, which was the day of her passing. So when I saw the list that Steve put out of dates that were available, I took that as a sign that I would just honor both of those days by being with you. Many of you knew her, many of you don't, but she loved this congregation very much, and she is very pleased, I'm going to put it in present tense, with of how you reach out to her family in so many good ways. Casey and Layla and Michaela, who are in San Antonio right now and helping their cousin celebrate a 9th birthday. The song we just sang, Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer, was actually sung at our wedding in 1973. Some of you were not even around in 1973, but that's always been a special song to us. So you didn't know that, but it means a lot to me. So I'm Virgil Fry, and am a semi-retired person with Lifeline Chaplaincy that this congregation was really the founding congregation to begin. And so I appreciate getting to be with you. The passage that Barbara just so ably read to us, it comes with an opening line, an explanation of what it's about. Then Jesus told them about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. The song we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, has a line in it, take it to the Lord in prayer. And that whole song is about not giving up in prayer. So it fits well. The previous time I was here in September, I preached from Luke 15, which was the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. And from that, God was presented as pretty impractical. I mean, who leaves 99 healthy sheep to go after one that's wandered away? And then who would spend all that time and energy looking for one coin, tearing the house upside down, finding it, and turning around and spending it on a party for the neighbors? That seems pretty extravagant by our human standards. And yet Luke and Jesus keep reminding us, maybe we've got God in too small of a box. Maybe we have our own view of who God is. And it's just a part. It's just a part. The Luke 15 also has the story of the prodigal son, who basically wished his dad was dead so that he could get this inheritance. And the unreal response was, or the unnatural response was, I'm going to give it to you. And then once the prodigal son came back with nothing, what happened in that? The unconditional love kicked in, and they threw a party. The elder brother wasn't that happy about it, but the father is presented as welcoming at all times. So what are our images of God? When you think of God and you imagine God, what characteristics come to mind? There can be all kinds of things. Can be a judge, can be a grandfather, can be somebody in the distance. For some, it can be a female. For some, it's a father, a stern father or a loving father. It depends. And so our images of God are very mixed. Scripture has some words for God. I'm sure you've probably heard many of these. El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. Elohim, which means mighty creator. The creator God is actually seen as the feminine image of God for many people. Adonai means Lord or Master, the one who controls things. Abba, this is what Jesus called God, was Father. Ego eimi, I am what I am, which is a rather strange statement, but for God it means I am who I will always be. Yahweh, the word for God in Hebrew that was often not spoken. Elyon, the Most High God, and Yahweh Rophe, the Lord heals. There's many other things in Scripture where God is referred to, but it just lets us know how complex and how multi-layered God can be, and we just kind of scratch the surface. But you know what? You're complex too. You're not just one type of person. You're not just a husband or a wife or a widower or a widow. You're not just a child or a sibling or a worker or a driver of a car or a rider in a car or a shopper or whatever role you put in there. We are so many things. Some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts, some of us don't know who we are, and we're standing around confused. But we mimic the image of God in that sense, and that we are so complex. There's so much to us. And it helps us maybe to appreciate what Luke is presenting about this quality of God that helps us to understand a lot of our understanding of God is mysterious, and yet God promises us to always be there, to not lose heart. So this explanation, we are not to lose heart no matter what's going on. We don't know much about the widow. We don't know what her complaint was, who her accuser was. We just know that she saw him as an adversary, and she wanted justice against him. And she, being a powerless widow in some ways, traditionally that's how widows are portrayed in Scripture, didn't keep her from constantly coming to an unjust judge, one who didn't care, very clearly didn't believe in God and didn't believe in having to please people. But she finally wore him down, and he said, "She will wear me out if I don't grant her what she wanted." So it wasn't out of altruism, it wasn't out of love, it wasn't out of the right thing to do and treating humanity correctly. He did it to save his own skin. She wore him down. Widows are often spoken of in Scriptures, and they're sometimes portrayed as those that don't have power, they don't have a voice without a man there, they don't have money, they don't have anybody to advocate for them or protect them. And the Scriptures are also very clear that those of us who have resources, who are around widows, or widows and orphans, James 1:31 says, the undefiled religion before God the Father is the ones that take care of the widows and the orphans. And so we are to be sensitive to those around us that are in that situation because they don't always have power. But the Bible also presents widows as being extremely tenacious, as fighters, as those who get things done despite the fact that they might not be traditional powerful. The story of Ruth occurred because Boaz was actually following the law that said, don't take all of your field. Leave enough to glean. Whatever's left over in the corners, leave that there for the widows and the foreigners to take. And that's exactly what happened with Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Two of those three were foreigners. They not only were widows, but they were foreigners, and they depended on that. But it was Ruth's tenacity, it was her persistence, it was her courage to finally win Boaz over as her husband. So she's seen as a very strong woman, and she becomes part of the lineage of our own Jesus because of that. If you remember the story of Elijah and the widow who had a son and had a breath problem, and it was her going to bat for her son that helped Elijah to know what to do to save him. The city of Nain, when Jesus was walking through the city of Nain in his ministry, there was a widow following a carried body of her son who had died. And he was so moved by this widow, because this was her only family that she had left, that he stopped the procession and brought the son back to life. Dorcas, a seller of purple, probably a widow. She was a very successful business person, probably supported many people, was seen as generous, was greatly missed when she passed. And on the cross, who is it that shows up? Jesus' own mother, who's presented by herself as a widow, watching her son, Jesus the Christ, being crucified. So widows are very important in so many ways, but this particular parable is a little different because it also asks us to make a leap as these two are in a battle for each other as to who we want to win in this. Many of you knew Marie Bannister. If you were here a long time ago, you knew who she was. Her spirit still lives around here, I'm convinced. She was the pillow lady, the one that walked no telling how many miles of hospital hallways down at the medical center, and particularly MD Anderson, and particularly the pediatric floors. And she got to where she made the pillows that she became famous for that were made with cut-up pantyhose, back when people wore pantyhose. That's an ancient thing now, I think, but they're still pillow ministries, but they're using different stuffings now. But she single-handedly collected the things to make the pillows. The story was she was visiting a child on from West Texas in MD Anderson, and the mother, when she left, handed her a pillow and said, "Would you take this home and wash it?" And the reason you can wash it is that it's made out of pantyhose, so it can wash and dry and come back. So Marie did that, got the idea, we could do this for other people. And so she took the pillow back, but she stole the idea, and it multiplied, and it's still being multiplied. Not only here, there's still a big pillow ministry going on with Lifeline and many churches here, but in Dallas, Fort Worth, and in Austin, there are pillow ministries being done. That Marie never had any idea about all of that good stuff that would come from it. Marie herself had been a patient. She was one of the early heart, open heart surgery patients of Dr. Cooley down at the medical center in the 60s. She had had a stroke, and so her right side was not as useful, and she could still walk circles around most of us who have both of our feet in our total body. She was just amazing. She would just go and go and go because she felt called to do so. But what she also did was she kept, like the persistent widow, knocking on elders and ministers' doors and saying, "We need a Church of Christ chaplain at MD Anderson. People are coming from all over the country, indeed all over the world. They're there for sometimes months. It would mean so much to have somebody there consistently, in addition to her and other volunteers like Marjorie and others, Marjorie Borland." And she knocked long enough and got Steve Sandifer involved enough that a board was formed from churches across the city in 1983 in this very building. And the beginning of the Churches of Christ Medical Center chaplaincy, now called Lifeline Chaplaincy, which is a little easier to say, started because of her knocking on doors and refusing to stop because the need was so great. So that ministry is now 37 years old or something like that. Math's not my thing, but it's thriving. We have, before COVID, across the state, we had five chaplains and almost 200 trained volunteers. And it's just amazing what her tenacity, her seed planting has done and what God has done with it. She refused to take no for an answer. She took, okay, not yet, but she wouldn't take no. And it's just amazing. I often, when I would tell her story when she was alive, say, I think of that persistent widow and who kept it going. So we get back to our parable today, and it's fascinating that we read it, and we're being asked to say, okay, the judge is God, and we're the widow. And we're going, wait a minute, that can't be right. But when you read the rest of it, it says, if the judge can respond out of goodness, how much more will a loving God respond? And the widow may seem powerless, we may feel powerless, but we're not. We have power to not lose heart and to keep praying, to keep asking. And the answer will come quickly. Now, quickly to God may be different than what I think of as quickly, but it is very clear God will answer our prayers. And our role is to pray, to ask, unashamedly ask. But our role is also to be grateful for that which we have. We are to be as persistent in gratitude as we are in asking. God is not unjust, and we are not powerless. That's what I glean from this passage. When our hearts are fearful and breaking because of what we're encountering, whatever it is, bankruptcy or losing a job or serious health issues, abuse of any form, a horrible neighbor, family discord, God expects and reacts to our constant prayers. And it's not there that we find easy answers, but we find the inner strength, exactly what we need to get through what we're getting through, even beyond what we can conjure up in ourselves. I'd like to read a quote, King, if you would put on the board, from Sharon Salzberg about her view of what this faith journey is like. Faith is a quality that allows us to find a way to go on, to feel empowered, to, no matter what, keep on trying. This is not a sentimental faith that everything will be just fine according to our wishes or our timetable. Rather, it is an awakened faith that gives us the courage to go into the unknown, the remembrance that nothing is fixed, and the understanding that as long as we are alive, possibility is alive. It is the power of faith that inspires us to step forward into the center of our lives, to participate, to link up, to reach out to others, and to let others reach out to us to work for a better world. And it is a vitality of faith that tells us, however easy it is to forget or to be overcome by fear, that the place for communicating, for loving, for sheltering, for trying is right where we are. And so we begin here, where we are, and God meets us wherever we are. That's always the good news. Philip Yancey has a quote that I've often gravitated towards. He said, he defines faith this way: faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Faith is not always finding sense right then, but we believe it. It will be God's hand in it. And in reverse, it can become clear to us. So let us keep the faith, even if the circumstances we're in urge us to quit. Let us call to the God of creation and salvation always and not lose heart. Knock, and the door will be opened unto us, and our loving God will respond.
Let's stand together and sing.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. And unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated.
We've come to that time where we share communion. As always, we look to have volunteers to come forward to help share the communion through the congregation. Be thinking about that, if you please join me in doing that. And those who are at home, now's the time to get your own bread and wine for this. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's dinner time. And as families do around the world, we use this occasion to remember your blessings, your providence, and to give you our thanks for this, and to seek your blessings on the meal we will share together. And so that's what we ask for, your blessings, and we lift up our thanks. Father, may you continue to feed this family, and may you give us the grace of being your people in this world, to share the gospel and to demonstrate the presence of the kingdom, even here, even now. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
One spirit, one mind, through prayer.
Glenn and Alex will come forward. We will collect our offering here in the auditorium. For those of you at home, you can contribute online via our website, or you can come by the office and leave your offering or mail it in. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you have blessed this congregation not only with prosperity to spare, but Father, you've also blessed this congregation with the heart to give. And Father, we pray that the gifts that are offered up today will be done so in love, and that they will be seeds to plant that we can continue to work and be your people in this place at this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we're sent out in a few moments by Virgil for our benediction, we have a few family matters to remind you about. Our Thursday Bible class meets every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. here in the conference room or on Zoom. You can always get the link for that from King in the front office. Also want to remind you that next Sunday, October 30th at 5 p.m., we will be hosting our neighborhood trunk or treat here. And we need your help if you would like to decorate a trunk out in the parking lot, I believe, is where it will be. And then you can do that and bring candy to distribute to our trick-or-treaters. And I believe there's also a sign-up sheet on the back table if you are interested in volunteering to let us know that. We are still collecting goods for the BIM pantry, the Braze Interfaith Ministry pantry. There's more information in your bulletin, but you can see here some of the things that they need right now: canned vegetables, mac and cheese, and pasta. We have a number of Bible classes that are held here in the building immediately after our service, and we hope that you can stick around and join one of those. If you need help finding any of these rooms, you can see me or any one of the members who was up here this morning. They can help direct you to where to go.
Will you stand as we're dismissed? May the God Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai, the loving, just God, be with us every step of the way, and may we always be prayerful. Amen.
Thank you.